T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, it's time for Brian Barrett on WEEI.
Hill will not be suspended. We will be able to attend and participate in all Chiefs activities.
You gotta be kidding me!
Dial 617-779-7937.
Drive to center field. Jackie going back to the warning track by the fence, and this was gone.
Oh, yuck.
Swinging it. Hammer deep to left. There it goes. Keon Broxton connects 15 rows back in left field.
Honestly, I just think it's trash.
Now, it's time for Brian Barrett on WEEI.
All right, well, David Price, after controversy, decided, I'm not going to show up for this start against the Baltimore Orioles. Man, was he atrocious. The Red Sox in general, absolutely horrible last night. Absolutely horrible in Baltimore. Number 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board here, weigh in on what you think of the whole David Price-Dennis Eckersley controversy, and what'd you make of David Price's performance yesterday, any faith in this Red Sox team right now? Now, we should clarify, Jake in Boston was calling up talking about David Price and the issue earlier in the season. Remember, Steve Buckley had tweeted, Alex Cora has confirmed that the newspaper report that he will not make the trip to meet the president. So basically, it's the White Sox who will be going. David Price retweeted that, and he said, I just feel like more than 30K should see this tweet. And then David Price was getting some bad publicity, some bad feedback, because people thought that was going to be divisive in the clubhouse and whatnot. Basically, they thought he was agreeing with Steve Buckley. And then what David Price said back to Alex Spiro of the Boston Globe was, quote, it was an insensitive tweet that needs to be seen by more people. That's what it was. So David Price was saying that he wanted to put on blast that what Steve Buckley essentially was tweeting, that he didn't agree with what he was tweeting. So originally it read like David Price was agreeing with him. And David Price said after that, that he basically wanted to put out there that was, it was an insensitive remark. So he was on the other side of the controversy, if you will. 617-779-7937 is the number. But I also wanted to get to this, like David Price pumping his chest last year after this team won the World Series, and him being out there wanting to attack the media, if you will, should tell you all you need to know about David Price. That David Price cares about David Price. That's what it's about. He cares about David Price. The thing that was on his mind is he wanted to attack the media, saying, now I can play that trump card. You guys have played that trump card real well, and now I can play that trump card. And when I really look at David Price, like, it was shocking that David Price actually came through in the postseason last year, right? But it's almost as if David Price thinks that he had this, like, Herculean effort in the postseason last year.
I hold David, all the cards now.
Yeah, damn right. He holds all the cards now. David Price acts like he is completely vindicated of everything else because he pitched well in like 3 postseason games. The reality of the situation is like, yeah, you had a decent postseason, but it's not like he acts as if he had this like incredibly dominant postseason run. And really, it's not even like his postseason starts that he actually performed well in. With the exception of the first Dodger start, it's not like he had as much pressure as you would think in a normal postseason series. Because in the Astros one that he pitched well, the short rest, that was almost like house money, right? Well, even if David Price pitches poorly in this one, it's kind of like, you can't really blame the guy. He's going on 3 days rest against the Astros in Minute Maid, right? So it was almost like for the first time in his postseason career, if you will, he was going into that start with not a lot of pressure, because even if you lose that Game 4, you go back to Fenway for a Game 5. So it's like David Price is doing the team a favor by pitching on short rest. That's the narrative, right? So even if he pitches poorly, nobody was going to kill him in that particular start. They would have killed him if he did it in a Game 5. But in that start, it was almost like Alex Cora was finding the soft landing. Even if he doesn't pitch well, well, then you have the excuse of David Price went on short rest. But you look at his postseason run last year, he acts as if he had this like outstanding performance that nobody's ever had before. Okay, so he's horrible against the Yankees. Remember, he didn't make it out of the second inning of that game, gave up 3 earned runs. Then the first game against Houston, gives up 4 earned in 4 2/3, okay? And the Sox won that game, but not because of David Price. The lineup picked him up. And then you think about it, yeah, he has the short rest game against the Astros, and he has a couple of nice starts against the Dodgers, but here's his final line from the postseason. 26 innings, a 3.46 ERA. Like, and David Price was acting after that postseason like he accomplished so much for the team. He was this unbelievable force of nature, if you will. And quite frankly, that's not the reality of the situation. He was good, but he wasn't out of this world great. It wasn't John Lester in 2013 when John Lester threw 34 and two thirds and had a 1.56 ERA. Right. He's acting like he was Madison Bumgarner in 2014 going 52 and two thirds with a 1.03 ERA. Like, David Price, you were fine. You played a pivotal role in the postseason run last year. You were really good. But to act like you did something like out of this world great, all you did last year was for the last three starts of the postseason, for the first time ever since putting on a Red Sox uniform, you actually lived up to the contract. That's all David Price accomplished. He finally lived up to the contract for three starts of the postseason. Yeah, feels so good that you could go out to the podium. That's what David Price is about. David Price is about David Price. And for whatever reason, he can't get over this Dennis Eckersley thing. He'll never get over this Dennis Eckersley thing. That's the reality of where we're at. He's proven it. He will never get over it. For a guy that says he's over it, why would you go on this tirade then? If you're not over it, why would you go on this tirade completely assassinating Dennis Eckersley's character? That's what I don't get. That's what I don't get. If you say you're over it, why do you say these type of things? Clearly, it means you're not over it. 617-779-7937 is the number. All right, I want to get back to this Red Sox team in particular on the field. And when I start to look at how this team is built, it's starting to stick out to me that maybe the president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, just built this team wrong. Because when we look at it, entering today, and the Yankees are playing right now, you're 11 games back in the division. You're three games back of the wild card spot. And Dave Dombrowski, it feels like to me, he's building a team as if it was the Braves of the 1990s or the Phillies in the latter portion of the last decade, where he just wants to build everything around the starting rotation, or even his Tigers teams that routinely underachieved. Remember, his Tigers team did not live up to the hype. That team was incredibly talented, but they never got the job done. So they invest all their money in the starting rotation. When you're looking at Rick Porcello, $21 million. Chris Sale just signed that $145 million extension. David Price, $217 mil. Nathan Eovaldi, $17 million per season, right? So Dombrowski has looked at it, and how he's building a team is like archaic almost. Okay, and one of the things that was probably even worse for Dave Dombrowski is the fact that they won a World Series last year. So it was almost like, okay, everything I've done in the past has proven to be correct. So I'm going to continue to build this way. And now when you look at it, that's why his team is in trouble right now. So last year in the postseason, they found a way to use some starters in the bullpen. But it's almost as if the starters' role in the bullpen got over-evaluated, right? There's too much emphasis on the starters going into the bullpen. It got too overhyped, right? Because the critique of Dave Dombrowski at the deadline last year was they didn't get the proper arms in the bullpen. They didn't go out and get more guys, and it just so happened that everything worked out. So he's believing in his philosophy even more so than he previously did. Look, he clearly relies on the starting rotation more than anything else. Look at the move he just made. He went after a fifth starter in Andrew Kashner rather than a bullpen arm. And look, maybe they still add a bullpen arm, but this was the first move, right? So it felt like to me that they over-evaluated that role that the starters had in the bullpen last season. Not to say that they weren't valuable, but it's almost like all the hype was put on that and we missed out some of the key contributors, right? Matt Barnes last year in the postseason, 8 2/3 with a 1.04 ERA. Joe Kelly, 11 and a third with a 0.79 ERA. Ryan Brazier pitched 8 2/3 with a 1.04 ERA. So all those three relievers last year were absolutely electric in the postseason. All three of those relievers were incredible on the postseason run. And it seems like what Dave Dombrowski paid attention to was the fact that Rick Porcello came out of the bullpen at times. Nathan Eovaldi came out of the bullpen. David Price came out of the bullpen. And he looked at that and said, this is the way we build our team. And instead of looking at it as, okay, well, yes, that's part of it, but also the other part of the equation is these relievers were incredible in the postseason run. Okay, all these relievers got hot at the right time, and Dave Dombrowski put less stock into that and more stock into the starting rotation. Because if you look at the way this team is built compared to the way the Yankees have been built, completely different, right? The Yankees right now have been playing all season long with the guy that was supposed to be the ace of their staff, Luis Severino, not playing whatsoever because he's been dealing with an injury. You look at the Yankees starting rotation, it has not been good. Okay, Tanaka's been their best guy. He has a 3.81 ERA. Hap, almost an ERA of 5. Paxton, an ERA near 4. CeCe's over 4. Okay? Yet the Yankees are 11 games up on you in the division. Why? Because Brian Cashman is building the modern-day baseball team. The modern-day baseball team where he's putting strength into the bullpen. Okay? He has Ottavino, 166 ERA. Britton, 225 ERA. Canely, 289 ERA. Chapman, 245 ERA. These are all moves that he's made over the past couple of years, right? He went after Ottavino in the offseason. Britton he traded for, then re-signed. Canely he traded for last year. Chapman's a guy that they traded away and then brought him back, okay? So he signed him, he traded him, and then he signed him. Because Brian Cashman realizes that really when you get to the postseason, you only really need to have, in this day and age, two really good starters, and maybe not even two really good starters, and then you fill it out with the bullpen, right? So that's four innings right there, and then when they get Betances back, that's another guy they add into their bullpen. So what Brian Cashman was doing was he was preparing. Okay, if one of these guys goes down or one of my starters doesn't perform up to the level we want him to perform, we have guys that can back him up. Okay, so this is what happens. The Red Sox right now, neck and neck with the Yankees in most statistical categories. In fact, they're better in average, they're better in on-base percentage, they're better in runs. Okay, and the Red Sox right now are looking up at them 11 games back because the team is built in a poor way compared to the way the Yankees are built. So when the Red Sox get a lead, they can't hold it down because the bullpen has blown 18 saves. And because of the fact that you've gone into the seventh inning with the lead 8 times and lost it, right? 8 times that's happened this year. We've had the lead in the seventh inning and lost. With the Yankees, that crap doesn't happen. Okay, that crap doesn't happen because of the fact they actually have a competent bullpen. So with the Red Sox, it's the opposite of that. It's the opposite of the situation because they don't have that stability at the back end. And quite frankly, they don't have stability whatsoever. So what happened is Dave Dombrowski was looking at how he built his team with the Tigers, right? With Justin Verlander and Scherzer and Price and all these guys that he had in terms of the starting rotation. Even if you remember, Anibal Sanchez was good back in those days. But what happened in 2013 in the postseason? Again, he didn't have a bullpen. David Ortiz hits the grand slam. The Red Sox take game 2 of that series, and the Red Sox go on to win the series because Dave Dombrowski has never put the proper resources into his bullpen. And last year, it just so happened that everything clicked at the proper time for the Red Sox to make that deep run and win the World Series. So it was almost like he doubled down on his beliefs by saying, all right, let's give money to another guy in the rotation. Let's give money to Nathan Eovaldi because Nathan Eovaldi was great for us in the postseason last year. Let's give him money and hope that we have this great starting rotation. But the thing that backfired on Dave Dombrowski and this team is the way they built it. It was all surrounded by the starting pitchers, right? All these guys, with the exception of Erod, are making big money. All these guys making big money. But then what happens when one of them goes out? When Nathan Eovaldi goes out, or if one of them goes out and some of them pitch poorly, like Chris Sale pitched poorly for a little bit, like Rick Porcello has pitched poorly. What happens when those guys pitch poorly and you have an injury? Well, then the bullpen that you put no resources in whatsoever this offseason, besides bringing in a guy like Colton Brewer, then your bullpen is exposed because it's the trickle-down effect. Nathan Eovaldi is supposed to be that fifth starter, if you will, or fourth starter, however you rank the Red Sox starters heading into the season. But because he was out of the lineup, because he was done for a significant period of time, you had to go to the bullpen games. And a lot of teams across Major League Baseball are going to bullpen games. The Yankees have done it multiple times. We all know the Rays did it. Last year, the Rays did it on like 2 of every 5 starts. They would have bullpen games. But the problem for the Red Sox is they don't have enough arms out there. They don't have enough competent arms. We talk about how do you get out of the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, okay? Or how do you get from the starter to the end of the game? We talk about that all the time. Sometimes you don't have enough reliable guys just to do that in a particular situation. You talk about the 18 blown saves. And now you're talking about every 5th day having to have a bullpen game. But the problem is these arms in the bullpen are not competent enough to get through a bullpen game. That's the reality the Red Sox are living in because the team was mismanaged from day one. Or not mismanaged, the resources by the president of baseball ops, Dave Dombrowski, were put in the wrong places, right? He didn't put any stock into the fact that you had two relievers that were big-time contributors to your team last year during the regular season as it pertains to Craig Kimbrell and as it pertains to Joe Kelly. You didn't put any resources back into that bullpen. And that's where this team has had an issue all season long. Because of the signing of Nathan Eovaldi, it has had a trickle-down effect on the rest of the team. And if this team was serious about catching the Yankees, they should have been making moves way earlier on in the season, right? Because this Nathan Eovaldi thing, they had no idea what was going on with the timetable, clearly. But when your bullpen was blowing you games when you were down 5 games in the division, down 6 games in the division, that's when you needed to make a move to address the bullpen, because that's when the Yankees were still in a position where it was catchable. You could go after the Yankees, and they waited all this time. They still haven't added anything to the bullpen. They're hoping that Nathan Eovaldi is that savior. So they're hoping internally they get that solution in terms of the bullpen, and that solution is Nathan Eovaldi. That's their hope at this particular point in time. Their other hope is that Hernandez, who's pitched well over the past couple outings, that he can step up and be a contributor to this bullpen. But none of that is a certainty. I get he looked really good the other day. He's throwing 97 miles an hour. Even his 94, 95 mile an hour fastball looks like it explodes. I mean, that thing looks like it jumps on batters. So maybe that's something that you can build off, but we need to see him do this in high leverage situations. We need to see him do this against good competition, okay? And I get it, he did it against the Blue Jays, but you need to see it against the Yankees, and you need to see him be able to do that against the Rays. So it seems like to me, for whatever reason, Dave Dombrowski feels like the way to build a team is just completely around the starting rotation and exclude the bullpen. Because you have to realize that this is going to be an issue heading into the season, right? Because we all thought it was going to be an issue. My question is, how did Dave Dombrowski not believe this was going to be something that could bite this team? That's what I just completely am flabbergasted by. Like, you bring back a guy like Steve Pierce on a $6 million contract, you can always find a guy at some point during the season that can hit lefties. You can always find that type of contributor, okay? At some point, you can find that guy. But in the offseason is when this Red Sox team can flex its financial muscles, if you will. And don't tell me they didn't have money to spend. Okay, don't tell me this is on the ownership, because they put $23 million into Nathan Eovaldi and into Steve Pierce. So you could have easily put that into a couple of relievers that could have contributed on this team this particular season. So it's the way that they mismanaged the money. And there's really no other explanation besides the point that Dave Dombrowski thought that this team was going to be fine with the relievers they had. Remember, even Alex Cora said at the beginning of the season and in spring training, they felt that they had guys that were going to get outs late in games. And instead of doubling and tripling down on your bullpen, you decided just to think that Ryan Brazier, basically, when you went into this season, the Red Sox truly believed that Ryan Brazier was going to be their second best reliever or their best reliever. Because remember, we were trying to figure out, oh, is Barnes or Brazier going to be getting the ninth inning more? That's what they thought. They thought because Ryan Brazier had this one great postseason run last year that that meant that he was going to be great this season, even though the guy had been pitching in Japan for years. Okay, and clearly we've seen that Ryan Brazier is now pitching in AAA. Matt Barnes, they thought, could be this high-leverage guy for them, and we have found out that he can't pitch on back-to-back days. So what Dave Dombrowski did is unlike what Brian Cashman did. Brian Cashman said, I got a couple of good relievers. Let's make sure I get two or three more. That's what he did this offseason. Dave Dombrowski said, ah, see you, Joe Kelly. See you, Craig Kimbrell. We'll bring in this one dude, Colton Brewer. And that's it. That's all they did in terms of the bullpen. So instead of having more arms out there, so you could have a larger margin for error like the Yankees do, so if one of their guys in the bullpen has a streak where he's not pitching well, somebody else can pick him up. The Red Sox have no margin for error. We've seen when Matt Barnes doesn't pitch well, this team is screwed. If Brandon Workman ever has a stretch this season where he doesn't pitch well, the team is screwed.
Some of the guys out there have actually thrown great.
Yeah, they've really thrown great. Because think about it the other day. This is what was embarrassing about the Blue Jays game to me the other day, that the Red Sox won, by the way. You needed to leave Brandon Workman out there in a game against the Blue Jays for 45 pitches. He threw 45 pitches the other day. And I'm not saying it was the wrong move by Alex Cora, but the reason you needed to keep Brandon Workman out there is because there's nobody else at that particular point in time in the game that Alex Cora felt he could go to and that person would be reliable. Because remember, Matt Barnes had already pitched in that game. So there was nobody else he thought he could go to in his bullpen to get the final three outs of that game. So he had to go to Brandon Workman for a five-out save because of the fact that there's nobody else out there. There is no margin for error right now. So hopefully, Nathan Eovaldi can be that guy for the sake of Dave Dombrowski. But I'll tell you this. If he comes in, Nathan Eovaldi, and he pitches well today, and he pitches well against the Yankees and the Rays over the next couple of weeks, I'm not giving Dave Dombrowski any credit for that whatsoever, because we know what the Red Sox are going to do as an organization, right? They're going to try to spin this as, well, you know what? We knew that we wanted Nate as a starter, but we knew that this was an option, that Nathan Eovaldi could come out of the bullpen if we needed him. We knew that that was a possibility. I'll give them no credit for that whatsoever. Okay, you stumbled upon this because Nathan Eovaldi has proven what he's proven his whole career. The guy can't stay healthy, and you gave him $17 million per season. And Nathan Eovaldi's injury is one of the main reasons this team is 11 games back in the division as we enter today. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on the David Price situation, certainly welcome to do so. Number 617-779-7937.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
Last two starts since the break,
anything that you've seen? Not really. I mean, it's been a grind the last three, actually. The one in Detroit, too. Just kind of like with Chris at one point, the foul balls, you know, the long at-bats are getting to, you know, the pitch count, and we just have to figure out, you know, if we can, you know, do something else as far as like the script, you know, and the way we pitch so we can get quick outs, you know. But kind of like when Chris went there, you know, a few times there with Toronto, you know, the foul balls and the Dodgers too, just the pitch count was getting up, you know, and then we make a mistake, we pay the price. So we'll take a look at it, and he'll be ready for the next one.
I couldn't disagree more with what Alex Cora was saying there. 617-779-7937 is your number. He said that the stuff was there for Price last night. I would disagree. I would completely disagree with that. And he also mentioned the fact that same thing with Chris Sale. When Chris Sale wasn't pitching, well, the stuff wasn't there with Chris Sale. When Chris Sale was pitching poorly, remember against the White Sox? The guy couldn't throw his slider in the first inning of the game. So I would completely disagree with what the manager is saying as it pertains to David Price last night, that the stuff was there. Well, I saw the changeup he threw to Broxton that was supposed to go out of the zone, and it was in the middle of the zone. Okay, so how can you say that he had his stuff? He was throwing a fastball last night that at times was 89 miles an hour. Okay, and Price's stuff, so to speak, relies on his location. At this point in Price's career, he's not the guy that he was when he came up with the Rays. He has to be able to locate his pitches, and last night he couldn't locate anything. You think about that fastball that he threw to Santander that he hit out in the first inning of the game? That was supposed to be middle in, and it went on the outside of the plate. So he wasn't locating whatsoever in that game last night. It's nothing more than location with David Price last night. He couldn't locate his pitchers. Lack of concentration. I wonder why he's distracted. Oh, yeah, all this crap that's going on off the field. Now, another thing I wanted to get to real quickly with the Red Sox is there has been a report that the Red Sox are apparently interested in Jose Abreu, the slugger from the White Sox. Remember, the Red Sox famously did not get Abreu when Abreu was coming over. And they were in one of those like silent auctions, whatever you call it, the silent bid. They were outbid by the Chicago White Sox at the time. And that's what led them to go after Rusney Castillo. And remember, we all know how that has worked out. But nonetheless, so the Red Sox being linked to Jose Abreu just looks absolutely clueless to me. Now, look, it's not like they've made a move or anything along those lines. But I understand, like, the principle of going after Jose Abreu. Hits left-handed pitching well, right? He has an OPS well over 900 against lefties. He's hitting over 350 against lefties this season. So I understand the move in a vacuum. I would like Jose Abreu on the Red Sox in a vacuum. But here is just where this thing is completely misguided from my perspective. If we look at what it's going to cost to get Jose Abreu, and like I said, the likelihood of this happening, not going to happen, okay? But nonetheless, the fact that they're even interested in this makes no sense to me whatsoever, because it would cost you quality prospects to go rent Jose Abreu. Does anybody think right now the problem with this Red Sox team is a guy in the offense, that they need to add somebody to the offense to make this team better? That is just clueless. Okay, clearly what this team needs is maybe more pitching in terms of the bullpen. Like, that's the biggest issue that this Red Sox team has at this particular point in time. And quite frankly, if you were going to go and try to put this team over the top and have a more dominating pitching staff, I would rather you give up top-tier prospects or quality prospects for one of the quality starting pitchers out there rather than a guy in Andrew Kashner who hasn't proven anything in his career in Major League Baseball. In fact, the only thing that he's proven is that he is an underachiever. And look, I don't even mind the Kashner deal. It costs you essentially nothing, and he comes up here to eat some innings. That's fine. But if you were really interested in giving up, like, quality prospects to go after somebody, then I would rather you do that for, like, a Madison Bumgarner or something along those lines than go after Jose Abreu. It just doesn't fit what this team needs right now. Clearly, there are questions in the starting rotation, and clearly there are questions in the bullpen. Okay, but apparently what the Red Sox were, or at least there's a possibility that they could be in on Jose Abreu. If the Red Sox actually pulled off a deal for Jose Abreu, that would be completely idiotic. Not to mention the fact that this is a guy that is a free agent after the season. Okay, so you're going to rent this guy, give up quality prospects, and not address the other issues on the team. That would just be clueless. That would make me think even less than Dave Dombrowski in terms of what he's already done to this team at this particular point in the season. I mean, that would just be completely clueless. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board. David Price situation is on the table. Do you want the Red Sox to go after Jose Abreu? And the other thing I want to address right now is Chris Sale, because Chris Sale this week had a fantastic start against the Toronto Blue Jays, where he goes out there and he gives you 12 strikeouts, gives up just two hits. But here's the concern that I have with Chris Sale. Is Chris Sale had struggled, what, the four previous starts before this. And Chris Sale in that game against the Blue Jays was throwing just 90, 91 miles an hour in terms of his fastball. Okay, so yeah, he dominated the Blue Jays. The slider looked a lot better. His changeup, he actually used as an out pitch in that particular game. Changeup looked really good. But my question is going to be this. When you have eight games coming up against the Yankees in the coming weeks here, going to start a series against the Yankees next weekend after you play the Rays early on in the week. And the Rays, by the way, have been sliding. But is Chris Sale going to be able to live at 90, 91 miles an hour in terms of his fastball against the New York Yankees? So it's great that Chris Sale had a quality start this week, because clearly he had been going in the other direction and you needed something to give this guy some confidence going forward. And you could tell this week it meant a lot to him in terms of the fact that he didn't actually have to go out to the podium this week and say, I suck, I'm a liability, and all those things he's been saying. I'm embarrassing my family. It was great that he didn't have to go out there and do any of that type of stuff. But I'm not getting back on the Chris Sale bandwagon until I actually see him do this for a couple of starts in a row. That's what I need to see from Chris Sale. And I need to see him do that against quality competition, because that's what Chris Sale hasn't done this season. Yeah, he's had his complete game shutout against the Royals. He had the 17 strikeout game against the Colorado Rockies. He had this great start last week against the Toronto Blue Jays. So he's been able to do it against inferior competition. But what you need from Chris Sale is you need Chris Sale to show up when it actually matters. When you're playing the Yankees and he gets on the mound, or you're playing the Rays and he gets on the mound, that's when we need to see the great Chris Sale. That's what we need to see, the Chris Sale from the past couple of years that has been a dominant pitcher from April to August. That's when we need to see Chris Sale. So it's great that he showed up against the Blue Jays, but again, there are still reasons to be concerned about Chris Sale. He was only throwing his fastball 90, 91 miles an hour, and we saw in the fifth inning he could dial it up to 96. But remember, when he tried to do the opposite against the Dodgers, right? When he tried to throw 95, 96 mile an hour, 96 mile an hour fastballs against the Dodgers at the beginning of the game, in the first inning of the game, what happened? It didn't work out for Chris Sale. Did not last in that game. Got shelled by the Dodgers, right? Did not show up for that particular performance. So what's going to happen when he goes up against the Yankees? Is he going to be able to live at 90, 91? I don't think so. So I want to see what the game plan is going to be when he goes up against an actual quality opponent like the New York Yankees. So that's what we have to find out with this team. So that's why if I'm ownership right now, if I'm John Henry, I'm not so excited to put more money into this team when they haven't proven to me that they're good enough to win at a high level. That's the issue I have right now. You look at the Red Sox, 1-6 against the Yankees. Dropped 2 of 3 against the Cleveland Indians. Right now in the season, they're 4-5 against the Tampa Bay Rays. Dropped 2 of 3 against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The only good team they took a series from, and I get at one point they took a series from the Rays, but they're still 4-5 against the Rays on aggregate this season. But the only team they really took a series from that is a quality opponent is the Minnesota Twins, where they took 2 of 3 from the Minnesota Twins. So if I'm John Henry, I'm right up against that luxury tax threshold, if you will. Why would I put more money into this team if they haven't proven to be a World Series contender, if you will? That just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Are you really going to invest more money, go out there and get more arms just because of the fact that you think it's going to put you over the top when you have no proof that's going to happen whatsoever? Because remember, you have to listen to the baseball people. And Dave Dombrowski is the same guy that told John Henry and the ownership group, etc., that the moves he made this offseason were going to work to make this team a type of team that could compete for back-to-back World Series championships. And we have found out in short order that that clearly has not been the case whatsoever. So you trust that Dave Dombrowski is going to make a key move at the deadline that puts this team over the top? I don't. So if you're John Henry, why would you trust that he's going to be able to make that move? You need to prove it to me. And you thought that this team maybe had turned a corner when Erod goes out there against the Dodgers and he pitches well, but then Chris Sale pitches poorly in the Saturday game, and David Price pitches poorly in the Sunday game, or at least not great. And then this week, maybe you're starting to feel better about your Red Sox if you're John Henry because of the way that Chris Sale was able to pitch on Thursday. And I forgot to go to the parade. It seemed like we're having a parade for Chris Sale that he pitched well against the Blue Jays, and he's starting to earn some of that contract money. I thought that we're having this big-time celebration for the guy. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, you thought that you were feeling better about this Red Sox team because Chris Sale pitched well in that game. And then what happens on Friday night? David Price goes out to the mound, and he gets absolutely shelled last night. So every time you want to buy into this team, every time you think this team is going to take a step forward, it seems like they take a step back, right? They can't go on these long extended streaks where you feel good about every aspect of the team. That's the issue that they've had all season long. There's been no consistency with this team because even like when you take 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays, you lose an atrocious game on Tuesday night, 10-4. And then even the game you win to make sure that you take 3 of 4 of the series in that game 4, you need a guy like Brandon Workman to be on the mound for 45 pitches because you don't trust anybody else in your bullpen outside of Matt Barnes, who had already pitched in that game. So that's why, even though you took 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays, it's kind of like, yeah, you took 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays. But again, in the Wednesday night game, and that's what I should say, the Wednesday night game before the Chris Sale start, you needed Brandon Workman to go absolutely nuts and go 45 pitches for you to be able to put yourself in a situation where you're going to win that game. So that's when every time this team, it seems like you want to buy in, but no, I'm not buying in yet. I'm not going to buy into this team. That's why we need to see what they're going to do in this 14-game stretch coming up against the Rays and the Yankees, because I'm not making any type of moves until I figure this thing out with this team, because I'm not going to invest in a team and put more money into a team if they don't have the ability to win a World Series. In my case, I would be more likely to be sellers at the deadline, more so than buyers, if this team doesn't show me anything over the next couple of weeks. And I don't think you're going to be able to move David Price's contract. I mean, the guy's got 3 more years remaining on it where he's making north of $30 million per season. So I know people have suggested that over the past couple of days. Sorry, that's not going to happen whatsoever. That's not going to happen whatsoever. But I would get with J.D. Martinez and say, J.D., are you going to opt into this contract? Can we work something out long term? And then figure out where you go from there. Because at least that's something where a slugger, people are going to be looking for a slugger on the open market. So in my particular scenario, I'd be thinking long and hard about holding off on making a move for another bullpen arm or some sort of arm that Dave Dombrowski tells me to go after. Because quite frankly, he has not been particularly good in terms of his evaluation of bullpen arms over the past couple of years. And Dave, I would say, if I'm John Henry, Dave, you told me about a lot of things before the season, and it seems like none of them have really panned out. Even the guy you told me to give $145 million to, the guy that was supposed to be a consistent Cy Young threat, if you will, he hasn't shown up so far this season. Where has he been? Okay, he pitched well against the Blue Jays. I need to see more from this team before I trust putting resources into making another move at the deadline. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Ed in a car. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, I agree. I think they should be sellers this year. You know, look what the Yankees did a few years ago when they had some of their injuries. Chapman's was going to be going free agent. They sent him to the Cubs. They bolstered their farm system, and now look what's happening with them. I knew, like, when the Yankees became sellers a few years ago, you knew that this was going to happen. The Red Sox are in the same situation. You know, Dombrowski fell in love with some guys last year. You know what I mean? Like, you know, signing Pierce because, yeah, the guy was the MVP of the World Series, but, you know, look what preceded all that. Grazier, the guy had a friggin', like, he had, you know, like his career season. And, you know, he signs these guys, but he lets, you know, like the closer go. And, I mean, a lot of mistakes here. But I would ship Martinez out of town. I'm sure that there's people that are looking for that bat. You got Devers that's been hitting. You know, you got some punch in the lineup now. It, you know, I'm with you. Why add to what's already there? This team is so dismal. I mean, you watched them last night. They're bringing guys in from the bullpen, and they don't even look like they want to come into the game. All of it.
Yeah, Fair point, Ed. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. It was embarrassing last night that Ryan Weber, who is already down in AAA. I mean, that's what he's there for. He's there to eat up innings, right? But it's embarrassing that against the Orioles, you have to put Ryan Weber into the game. Not because you're so far ahead that you don't want to burn one of your, like, two quality relievers. No, you have to put him in the game because you're down 6-2 or 8-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. That's why Ryan Weber's on the mound. By the way, can that guy get a uniform that fits? It looks like the uniform is significantly way bigger than Ryan Weber. I don't understand why the guy has like the baggiest uniform ever. He looks out of place out there, and clearly he was out of place. The Orioles were hitting him around last night a bit. All right, a lot more to get into, including something that I hope is not true about the Celtics I want to get into. If you want to weigh in on the Red Sox, certainly welcome to do that. The David Price situation. Your number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
WEI 93.7 FM.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so here on WEI, number 617-779-7937. Two other things that have stuck out to me about this Red Sox team over really the past month or so. One is J.D. Martinez. So you realize this about J.D. Martinez. He's hitting .204 this month with a .271 on base percentage and a .549 OPS. Now, it's been masked because the offense has been great. Mookie's heating up. Devers, of course, has been outstanding. Bogarts is having a tremendous season, and he's been red hot as of late. So you look at those numbers from J.D. Martinez, though, .204 for the month. We've never really seen J.D. Martinez go through an extended slump, if you will, ever since he put on the Red Sox uniform. And now J.D. Martinez inexplicably is struggling like this at the plate. What's going on with J.D. Martinez at this particular point in time? And this is a guy that now you're going to have to think about. As you get closer to the deadline, if you falter against the Yankees and the Rays, like this week is massive. Okay, we talk about the 14-game stretch, but what if you lose 2 or 3 to the Rays, and then what if next weekend you lose 3 or 4 to the Yankees? Okay, then you're essentially out of it. Then you're essentially out of it, and that's the difficulty of this Red Sox schedule, because you look at some of the other teams. Cleveland has 7 games coming up against the Royals. That's a team you're trying to catch in the wild card race. Cleveland's playing the Royals for 7 straight games. You got the Rays and the Yankees coming up, and I get the Rays have struggled as of late. But they're playing the Royals, okay? So you need J.D. Martinez. You need everybody to figure this thing out. So if J.D. Martinez doesn't figure it out and this team doesn't figure it out, then you're going to have to think about, well, is J.D. Martinez somebody that could help you replenish your farm system a little bit? Somebody will look at J.D. Martinez over the past couple of years and say, hey, we add that slugger to our lineup heading into the postseason. Maybe that's the piece that can put you over the top. You can get a couple of pitchers for your minor league system, maybe a couple of high-level prospects for a guy like J.D. Martinez that could help rebuild this organization. I mean, I would do it. This team looks lifeless right now, especially the way they performed against the Baltimore Orioles the other night. The other thing that stuck out to me last night and really shocks me is Andrew Benintendi not in the lineup last night. And not the fact that he wasn't in the lineup, but just when you let that register for a second, Andrew Benintendi is somebody that came up. He was the 7th overall pick in the draft back in, what, 2015, and same year as Alex Bregman, and he actually won the Silver Spikes Award as the best amateur player that year. Benintendi was a high-level prospect. Remember in 2016, he was really the only Red Sox that hit in that series against the Cleveland Indians. Remember, he came up, he actually performed well in the postseason, came in late that season, and he had a good stretch there. And last year at this time, Andrew Benintendi was like a fringy all-star, remember? He was a fringy all-star candidate. He was on that last ballot, if you will. That's before they changed the ballot. And now Andrew Benintendi is a guy that has turned into a platoon left fielder. He was not in the lineup last night because there was a lefty on the mound. And I'm not saying Alex Cora made the wrong move because Sam Travis goes up there and he hits a home run. I'm not saying that Benintendi, based on the way he's played this season, hitting .243 against lefties, I'm not saying that he should be in the lineup every day. What I'm saying is this. It shocks me that Andrew Benintendi is now at this level where Andrew Benintendi is not a reliable member of this Red Sox organization. If you told me last year at this time that Andrew Benintendi was going to turn into a platoon player, I would have told you you were crazy. Andrew Benintendi is going to be a platoon player? Are you kidding me? Remember, he's in the lineup every game, essentially, up until one game in the World Series because of the DH situation. He's in the lineup every day throughout the postseason. He was your number two hitter all season long last year. And this year, he's just completely dipped off. The thing that sticks out to me the most is last year he had a strikeout percentage of 16, which is above average. This year, 23.1, which is below average. And I get that strikeouts are up all over Major League Baseball. But Andrew Benintendi, we know the power numbers have taken a significant dip off this year. Really, he's had a power outage since last All-Star break. Those numbers this year, not the same as they were a season ago. What, 7 home runs in the season? Hasn't hit a home run since the midpoint of June? That's how long it's been since Andrew Benintendi's actually been a threat at the plate. And I have to imagine some of this is mental with Andrew Benintendi. Because your manager asked you to be the leadoff hitter at the beginning of the season. You couldn't perform in that role. You were not fit for that role. What was it? 3 of 37 he was leading off games. So you couldn't live up to the expectation that your manager had for you. And then what happens when you go down with a little bit of an injury, dealing with that little bit of a knee issue? Rafael Devers comes in. He takes your number 2 spot in the batting order. And this Red Sox lineup has been the best it's been all season long ever since Devers moved into the 2-hole. So that's when you thought, all right, I'm getting back into my sweet spot in the batting order. I'll be able to perform at a high level. No, you're never getting that spot back. That spot now belongs to Rafael Devers. So Benintendi was supposed to be in the same breath as Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. And now he's an afterthought on this team. Now he's a platoon left fielder with Sam Travis. He's not going to be playing against lefties for the foreseeable future because, quite frankly, he doesn't deserve this type of playing time. And I have to imagine that's going to be awfully tough for Andrew Benintendi because he looks at Rafael Devers. The guy's only 22 years old. He's having an MVP caliber season. And Andrew Benintendi has to imagine, that was supposed to be me. I was supposed to be the guy. I was a high-level prospect as well. I was supposed to be having this type of season. And now I've gone from a fringy all-star candidate, a high-level prospect, to a guy that's only going to be in the lineup when you're going up against righties. That's going to be an awful tough pill to swallow for Andrew Benintendi. So it's kind of been lost in this whole season because we talk about the bullpen so much. We talk about the issues going on with Chris Sale. We talk about the controversy going on with David Price at this particular point in time. Mookie Betts not having an MVP caliber season, although Mookie Betts is still having a good season for most players, just not for Mookie Betts. And now he's starting to turn it around. But Andrew Benintendi's kind of been lost in the shuffle, so to speak. And I can't imagine what it feels like right now to be Benintendi, thinking that you are going to be this unbelievable player for years to come. You were going to be somebody that was going to be playing in All-Star games. You were in the ballot last year, and now you're splitting time with Sam Travis that's been an underachiever really throughout his major league career. Remember, he could never really stay up here until this year. Finally, he's been great in the AAA level to the point where they have him up on the team now to hit against lefties. Now you're splitting time with Sam Travis and others, and you're only going to be playing against right-handed pitching. That's how far it's come for Andrew Benintendi. All right, a lot more to get into. Something about the Celtics that I really hope is not true. I want to get to that. Plus, some interesting comments from an NFL expert as it pertains to your New England Patriots. I'll get to that. Your number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.